on first down. Jackson keeps, carries, off he goes. Another rushing first down for Lamar Jackson. Lamar keeps, he's got the record. As he gets popped near the six by Neville Hewitt. A gain of five, and now the all-time single season rushing record for a quarterback belongs to number eight, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, congratulations to Lamar.
But on first down and goal, Jackson throws it, pass, caught for the touchdown. Miles Boykin, a lot of bodies in a tight space. Jackson keeps, throws, pass, caught, touchdown, Andrews. Second down and 10. Pass to the end zone and caught for the touchdown, Marquise Brown.
You heard it there. Lamar Jackson breaks the record in one of the most electric seasons we've ever seen. This is Chris Wessling. I'm here with Mark Sessler and Lakeisha Jackson Wessling and Lakeisha's mom, Rhoda. We're all here at West Manor recapping Ravens over Jets, and once again, Lamar Jackson sweeping the football nation, putting the MVP in the bag, in my opinion. Mark, what say you?
Well, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you'd have to, he would have to be essentially kidnapped tonight with no hope of returning for anyone else at this point to take the MVP award. It was amazing. He had 69 yards passing with about five plus to go in the third quarter. And the Jets seem to be settling in on defense, not towards victory, but just having a little bit of an effect on slowing down the Ravens. And then suddenly the big plays came, and Lamar Jackson winds up with 212 yards and five touchdowns through the air. And I heard that he coming down that they essentially tied the franchise Ravens record of none other than Vinny Testaverde from way back in the mid-90s. So I have a feeling Lamar Jackson's going to snap Vinny T's record of old.
With two games to go, they have already broken franchise records for total TDs, total points, rushing yards. And Lamar Jackson is doing things no quarterback's ever done. And four quarterbacks picked ahead of him last year in the draft. We saw a lot of graphics about that tonight. They have combined, those four quarterbacks, for three games of three or more touchdown passes this year. Lamar Jackson has seven on his own, and he's supposed to be a runner. He broke Vic's record, and here he is leading the NFL in passing touchdowns and just outpacing the other first-round picks from his draft by miles and miles.
I see a guy that just he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't kill you, because some of those other quarterbacks that we're talking about are still dealing with, you know, rashes of interceptions and games where they can't get out of their way, and there's fits and starts and regressions. And I think we saw a little bit of that with Sam Darnold tonight. Darnold did some really good stuff too. I thought the Jets offense had a chance before the half on a broken down offensive drive to essentially a seven-plus minute drive to get back into this game, and they just couldn't do it, which has been a hallmark of the Jets' offense. But Darnold just does some incredible things here and there too. But Lamar Jackson does it wire to wire, minus the slumps, the in-game slumps.
He's sort of immune to trends and strengths of the other team. You know, the Jets came in, and they were allowing about 79 yards per game on the ground. By 12 minutes into the game, they were already allowing 99. I mean, the Ravens just put that blitzkrieg on them, and they had no answers. And that's true for every team. Andrea Kramer talked to Greg Williams, the Jets defensive coordinator, before the game, and he just said there's no way to prepare for Lamar Jackson and the speed of this offense.
Yeah, I think Troy Aikman mentioned it too, that what you watch on tape is that we get to a point where teams have played him three or four or five times, the human beings on the field having to deal with his athleticism, which is so different in person than what you were watching on television. You're dealing with a completely different type of human being and essentially a different type of sport on some level, where they don't deal with this at all, and it's a total blitzkrieg and a shock.
And the way they line up like no other team, with all those tight ends and, you know, forcing mismatches. We saw Neville Hewitt, the poor Jets linebacker, picked on in coverage over and over again. I think immediately of the defensive pass interference, where you've got a linebacker covering Hollywood Brown, the fastest player other than Lamar Jackson on the field. And that was, you know, a gimme touchdown because the pass interference occurred in the end zone. And, you know, a few more times throughout the game, it was Hewitt getting picked on Marcus May, a safety, trying to cover one of their wide receivers. It was
you might as well put Greg out there at some point. I mean, he might have as good of a chance as some of these people. So,
well, yeah, Greg versus Hollywood Brown in a weight contest, that might be close.
I'd want to see it.
Yep. So what else about this game, Mark? I thought that we did see the Ravens struggle a little bit on special teams. Maybe their worst special teams game of the year, where they allowed some long returns. They had a punt block. Justin Tucker even missed an extra point. Dan will be upset about that one.
I think he might be a little bit more upset about Sam Ficken at this point, who I'm not sure his employment in the world of football is going to be lasting much longer.
Well, we can't fault him for the one bad snap and kind of a hold that made him miss the kick. But I thought
blocked by the illustrious Project Pat, that's his nickname, according to Mark Ingram.
Really?
Yes, he seems to do something different every game. Plays a little fullback.
Oh, Patrick Ricard.
Yeah, blocks some kicks. Nice. He's quite the guy.
Yeah, I thought for the Jets that the Ravens got a lot of consistent third down pressure on Sam Darnold, and he was up to the task quite a bit. He evaded pressure and still made some first downs. He had them on the move in the first half. And for a while, the total yardage was pretty even.
It really was, and they've not been a team. They've been essentially defunct on third down, the way bad teams are. And at one point they converted, it wasn't all through the air, 5 in a row. And I just thought that Darnold, they hung around. And on defense, James Burgess, 2 big third down stops in a row of
former
the Ravens.
Browns linebacker.
Exactly, where you were just waiting for the Jets to get another score to pull it in. But I just, even so, and it probably was a frustrating game for Jets fans, as most of these have been, because you know that at some point that the Ravens are going to hit an explosive period again. And then the score at the end showed that. They just got super hot in the second half, and Lamar Jackson threw the air. And, you know, we talked about on our show, have the Ravens hit some sort of a slump, or, you know, can they keep up their hot streak? You can see little moments where that question's relevant, but unless they have a terrible night like tonight on special teams, they could have easily put another touchdown or two on the board here.
They've been around, you know this as well as anyone, for about 25 years now. And about 25% of their 40-point games in history have occurred this year. A quarter of their 40-point games have occurred with Lamar Jackson in one season out of those 25. That might be the most amazing stat out of all the amazing Lamar Jackson stats this year.
Well, their offensive tilted, and they in the end, under Ozzie Newsome, they struggled to find wide receivers and targets. They did have tight ends, and they certainly had nothing in the realm of quarterback like this. I want to know what the woman to your right thinks about this game.
Oh, my favorite part was my mom, honestly. I had her come in there and watch the Aaron Andrews piece with Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram, and just explaining like who he is, and we explained the whole Mike Vick record and how all these quarterbacks were taken before him, and then she just got so pumped up. Like, it was just, yeah, it was
saw
amazing.
Some tweets, and that was hashtag Rhoda. Would you mind telling us, give us a few thoughts on, you can freewheel it, anything you want to say?
Well, I just want to say that, hey, Lamar Jackson had my adrenaline going. I'm at this age now where, hey, I just don't want my adrenaline going, but when my daughter described to me about Lamar Jackson, it's like, I got to see him.
She said, tell me where they play next week. I'm going to fly to whatever it is and see him.
Yes.
She's talking about getting our boss, talking to our boss. I'm gonna talk to y'all's boss and get Super Bowl tickets. I'll be that bold about it.
Yes. Hey, I would do anything to see Lamar Jackson. He was just that good. I mean, he goes out on and he just knows where he's throwing that ball, and he just knows where he's running and where he's going. It's like he can see the whole field, and just how he played, just I was just so amazed and mesmerized by him. It's like he was awesome. And to see the turnover.
My favorite exchange of tonight,
yes,
was Rhoda said, all right, Ravens, do some of your ghost plays. And Keisha,
yes,
Keisha said, what's a ghost play? Rhoda proceeded to lay out exactly what play action pass means.
And yes, and Lamar played them ghost plays so well. I mean, usually I'll be like, okay, where's the ball at? I can see. Actually, it's like he just has me so mesmerized. I can see just every little step. And any other time I play the game, I'm like, where's the ball at? I don't know. But, hey, he was really good, and I just liked the intercepted by number 36, which the ball
Chuck
was
Clark.
Intended for Brown, 87. And it was like, wow, look at these plays. I mean, hey, you got me. I'm going to be watching you all the way through, and you go all the way.
You know what I like? That you were able to ascertain things that people who don't watch football regularly would not have, and you picked up immediately. You said, what I love about this Ravens team, just from watching them one time, good teamwork. They're so supportive of each other. They are so enthusiastic for each other.
Yep.
And you see that with Ingram and Lamar Jackson. Anytime they're interviewed, they just have that camaraderie and the whole city being swept into it. Like, you know, the first drive of the game, they're chanting MVP already because Lamar is marching down the field.
It's like, I'm a Browns fan, and they in the Ravens Rota, hashtag Rota, came from the Cleveland Browns. And I could not stand the concept of the Ravens for up until a couple months ago. And I have a 7-year-old boy, and he's watching Lamar Jackson and having the 7-year-old version of your reaction. I think he's making new fans out of people that would be disinterested otherwise. And I'm trying to explain to my 7-year-old, not every quarterback looks like this. In fact, nobody does. This is a rare thing that you're watching right now.
Oh, yeah. So, we even had some Steelers fans talking about, you know, they can't help it. Like, how can you not love Lamar? Like, he just draws you in. Like, he's so exciting to watch.
Can we get you, Rota, to get on Twitter and to get a Twitter account? Because you'd quickly, based on that speech, have about 50,000 followers.
She does not do social media at all.
Well, we can change.
I wanted to post pictures of her, but I knew if I did,
I
would have
gotten
deep trouble.
With Lamar Jackson, the way he play, you never know. Hey, you never
Stop.
Know. We just going to
He's a rule breaker.
Just take it for right now.
He's a mold breaker, too.
I'm just going to watch him, but we never know what the future means.
Things are changing.
You know, Mark, today on our preview pod, you said that Mike Tomlin is your NFL coach of the year, and you're not alone there. A lot of people would have him there. He'd be in my top three or four, but John Harbaugh is my coach of the year. And if I had to put it in the words, when you tell people ahead of time, in the offseason, in the summertime, look, we're coming out of the Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, West Coast offense era, and the question is what comes next? And he said, well, you're about to find out. And the Ravens have put it on the NFL. We are finding out what comes next. John Harbaugh called his shot and then unleashed one of the youngest, most revolutionary MVPs this league has ever seen. For that and for the way his assistant coaches, Greg Roman and Wink Martindale, both up for assistant coach of the year, this coaching staff together gets my vote for coach of the year.
It's impossible to argue that. And I think you can look at each of these candidates in a different way. But in the year where the NFL went nuts over 31-year-old offensive assistants, This is a guy who was a special teams coordinator, Harbaugh. Tomlin is a defensive coach by nature. Bill Belichick is still the best of all. He's a defensive coach by nature. Wink Martindale will probably get a job off of this. Roman, who went atypical with all the offensive passing craziness, is much more run-heavy by nature, is the offensive assistant of the year. So no one, again, when we're talking about this stuff in May and June, turn me off like C-3PO. I don't need to be part of this at this point. So.
Well, I think with Greg Roman, you're talking about he has designed and called some of the best running quarterback seasons we've seen with the early Colin Kaepernick years and now with Lamar Jackson. I think he has to get a job offer, and I think Wink Martindale should too.
The one thing about Greg Roman, and it's like he's going to have to do this, it's happened when it's with quarterbacks of a certain nature who are dangerous on the ground. I don't know if you stick him with a 35-year-old pocket passer, you know, who was born in the early 70s
right,
or something, that you're going to get the same flashy attack.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that maybe he's going to turn Blaine Gabbert into something.
I wouldn't expect it, but you never know.
Big Truss.
Oh, man. Rota was yelling, Big Truss.
Big Truss. Yeah.
Oh, there's so many converts in this house.
With a K. Woo.
Yes, no, of course. I think Mark with a K is a more prominent figure at this point in terms of things. He's got a little bit more going on.
He's the best hype man in the business. You know, after the game, and I thought he really put a bow on this game, he said he was talking about Lamar Jackson and story unfinished, book yet to be written. They're talking about that Super Bowl, and Rota's going to be there by hook or by crook.
Yeah, because I know, hey, Lamar's going to bring it all the way, all right?
Wake us up in Miami.
I love it, man. This has been probably my favorite game of the year. Like, I love watching with you, Mom. Like, that was awesome. I'm serious.
Mark has experienced it before. You know, we saw it when they iced Younghoe Koo. They iced the kicker in that game, and Rota had never heard of.
She still talks about the kicker all the time.
She wants to know how he's doing. She had never heard of icing the kicker and just found it patently unfair.
We saw Bears-Packers. We saw Chiefs-Patriots, if I'm not mistaken, way back
indeed.
When, and that was a shocker. So, you know, you're a good luck charm for good games.
Yes, and I hope to continue on. Yes.
You will.
All right, we're going to wrap it up for here. A memorable game, a memorable season for Lamar Jackson. Let's hope it continues because these Ravens are fun to watch, and they are getting everybody hyped.
And they are not going to be stopped, I predict.
Mark Sessler predicts it, and Rhoda backs him up.
Yay!
That's it from West Manor on to Sunday Recap.